So I'm excited. I get to talk. Ed is not here. And so I get to do a little preaching or teaching, whatever you want to call it. And did everyone get their sermon thing? There's no outline in here. I'm not like Ed. I don't plan ahead that much. So, but we got this, we want you, with a finger pointing. Now, that's a little intimidating, right? Actually, honestly, I was thinking about that. And I was like, you know, that might set the wrong tone. That might be a little too strong. And actually, when I went over to tell Sandy, I changed my mind. I saw him already sitting printed out on her desk. So I said, I can't change that. But we do want you, and that's going to be kind of the focus of this message, is about you guys and getting involved in serving. As you know, some of you know, I used to be a history teacher. And related to this idea of serving, wanted to kind of share a little story about the Civil War. How many like the Civil War in here? All right, yeah, it's pretty interesting. A sad time in American history, but if you remember, the Civil War, you know, what happens is back in 1861, it breaks out, and when the fighting breaks out, it starts, a bunch of people were really excited about getting involved. They're like, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be fun. Let's go join the war. Let's go whip the Yankees. Actually, I'm a Yankee. I'm sorry. So let's go whip them rebels. Show them who's boss. And there were tons of volunteers and people getting involved. And they're thinking this is going to be exciting and fun and easy. And guess what? Quickly, they found out that it was the opposite. It was horrible. If you know about the combat and the casualties in the American Civil War, it was our worst war by far. And eventually, they started to have to say, okay, we're not getting enough volunteers. Let's start giving people a bonus if they'll sign up. They called that a bounty. And there were people that actually would go and sign up in one city and the next city and the next city, collect these bounties, and then go to the next city. One guy did it like 15 times before he got caught. But they were trying to encourage and motivate people to get involved, to join, to help in the fight. And eventually, they just had to start drafting people. Like, you're going no matter what. And that really actually upset people, because some states allowed, if you had enough money and you got drafted, you could actually pay someone to be your substitute. So it was kind of a messy situation. Thankfully, the church is not like that. We're not going to pay you to volunteer, and we're not going to force you to volunteer. But guess what? Just like the Civil War, there was a big task to be had. From the Northern perspective, they believed they were fighting to save the Constitution, to save the Union, and it was a big task to win the war. But guess what? We have a big task. We, as the church, the body of Christ, have a huge task. And our ultimate task, you know, we have three priorities here in order: loving God, loving one another, and living out the Great Commission to bring the gospel to all nations. That's our big task, and that's what I'm calling us all to action for this morning. But with that said, this church is awesome. And I made a list. This is just stuff I thought of, and I'm probably going to miss a lot of service and ministries. But these are just a list of some of the ways I've seen people in this church serve. Ladies making food, men making food, adopting children and helping those who have or are adopting children. I know of a deacon who faithfully is mopping and cleaning toilets regularly, changing dirty diapers in the nursery, building the adventure playground, teaching little kids God's word, inviting people over for dinner, teaching kids music to worship God, biblical counseling for ladies and men, words of advice, words of encouragement. We have a man here who gives great hugs. Everyone knows who I'm talking about. I'm not going to call him out, but if you need a hug, we have a hugger here. We have people that will help pack seeds for Hope Seeds, people that support the persecuted church around the world, praying for each other in life groups, praying for those on the prayer list, checking in on each other, many different groups studying the word together throughout the week to help each other grow. Men in the church who help the widows and elderly with help around the house or help on their cars. We have the prayer shawl ministry, giving money to missionaries, giving money so the youth can do stuff. Generosity, me and my wife have even experienced generosity here. On many occasions, people in the church anonymously have given money to me and my wife to help us out, to support our family. And that's awesome. Surf camp and VBS. And I look back at VBS, and the only reason VBS happened and was successful was because we had, I think, over 50 people in the church volunteer in all capacities, teaching. You know, Jan was guarding the bathroom. That was a really important job, literally. But so many people helped and volunteered. So this church is awesome. And it is an exciting time at Crosspoint. We are growing, and we have a lot more opportunities to serve. And we have a lot more youth in the church. Sometimes on a Wednesday night, we'll have up to 30 teens in the youth group, and like over 20 kids in the boys' club, and a bunch of girls in the girls' club. So we have a whole bunch of opportunities to serve. And before I really get into the word, I want to list a few of the opportunities that we are looking for. We are looking for more help in the nursery. More help in the nursery. And if you want to help in the nursery, see Karen Moss. She's kind of like the person that's in charge. And also, if you're like, you know what, I'm a nursery pro, I want to run that nursery, she wouldn't mind letting you be a nursery coordinator if you felt called that way. We are still in need of girls club leaders for Wednesday Night Blast. That starts at the end of August. So Ann and Marcy did that for a while. They're taking a break, and we are really needing, whether it's a group of like six moms that say, hey, let's rotate, we'll take turns, we'll do it all together every night, or if it's someone pair that says, hey, you know what, I feel called to do this, I'm gonna take this and run with it. And it's kind of a blank canvas. You can really do it whatever you want. You know, you could do, obviously we need to have the studying of the Word of God, but they could practice some sort of skills, kind of like the boys' club. Whatever you want, you could run with that. But we really are in need of that for Wednesday Night Blast. We're actually, since we have so many more kids during the small group time, we actually need another teacher. And Karen Moss has volunteered to do that, but she also said, you know what, I don't want to take the initiative there if there's someone else who says, you know what, I really feel called to teach this first and second grade class. So we need someone, and that's starting at the end of August. I'm hoping, as the youth group is growing, and we have a bunch of like fifth grade boys, I think they're about fifth grade, so like in a year they're going to be in the youth group, and we have all like these girls that are going to be by then like 10th grade, and a bunch of 10th grade girls, 11th grade girls probably don't want to be spending all their time in the youth group with sixth grade boys. We have young girls now, but there's a big difference between a sixth grade girl and a sixth grade boy, am I right? Huge difference. And so we would like to eventually have another couple come along to lead the younger kids and kind of divide into a 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th life group in the morning, and then a 6th, 7th, and 8th. And then you can talk about age-appropriate things that seniors need to hear about that sixth graders don't need to hear about. So we're looking to do that in the future. Be thinking and praying about that. We have so many new young families, and some have relatives here, parents, grandparents, some don't. And we have all these young new families that need encouragement and mentorship. And if you have had kids, if you have grandkids, and you have that experience, there are families here that would love your help, your support, you to cook a meal for them, you to give them advice. You know, we've all made mistakes, we've all had successes, we can pass that on. So that is an awesome opportunity to serve. The missions team, the persecuted church team, they're always looking for more people to get involved and to serve and to learn and to spread the word there. We need more help in the kitchen. We need help cleaning. I'm not going to mention his name, but there's a deacon here that does most of the cleaning every week by himself. And sometimes he's in here like literally mopping the floors at like 10 at night by himself. So we could use more people throughout the week You literally just show up and go see me or Sandy or Wayne, and we'll show you where the mop is, we'll show you where the plunger is. Wayne does a lot of, Wayne's pretty good at cleaning toilets, I've seen it. Wayne does a lot of toilet cleaning too, but everyone could use more help when it comes to cleaning. And so there's a lot of opportunities, there's a bunch of other stuff, ways to get involved in church, and even being, you know, you can even be led into teaching or leading or starting another life group. But today's message is not about making people feel guilty. And if you're actively serving, thank you, and keep it up. And if you're kind of sitting on your hands, it's time to get active. And, you know, if you're sitting there thinking, well, there was this one time back in like 2009 where Brother Larry was sick and I made him some spaghetti. Now maybe is the time for you to think of another way to get involved. You know, we don't want to be guilty of the 90-10 rule. You've heard of the 90-10 rule, right? 10% of the people do 90% of the work in a church or an organization. We do not want to be guilty of that. But it can easily happen. It's just the nature of people coming together. But we want to break that mold. I don't think we're in that mold, by the way. I think we have a lot of people serving in a lot of different ways. But we are stronger together. And I also understand there are different seasons of life. You know, when you have a new baby at home, you know, there's not a lot that you can just jump in both feet and say, you know, I'm going to give up 2-3 days a week or a full day here or there. There are different seasons of life, and there are different ministries. That's what we're going to get into in a moment. There are different ministries and giftings, and that's from God. We're going to study that in a second. But I want us to realize, you know, we're stronger together, and being a believer is not like Rambo. Being a believer is not like Rambo. So if you've seen Rambo, raise your hand if you've seen Rambo. I haven't seen any of the new Rambos, but I know the old Rambos. Usually it involved Rambo, you know, with a machine gun at the hip, and he's running around by himself, and what is he doing? He's taking out the entire Vietnamese army or the Soviets in Afghanistan. He's doing it all by himself. And guess what? God did not save us to go serve all by ourselves. He has a body. He uses that analogy in Scripture. And even missionaries. You're like, well, what about missionaries? They go out on their own. Who sends the missionaries? The church. Who prays for the missionaries? The church. Who gives them money? The church. Who supports them and loves on them when they come back? It is the church. And when they're going out on the mission field, what are they trying to do? They're trying to plant a church where then that church will grow up people to then serve together in that church to see souls saved. So, I got another thing before we jump into the scripture. I'm going to get to some verses and some passages in a moment. Did you know, by the way, just your presence here is an encouragement? Just being here is an encouragement. And maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but have you ever been in a church service and you're like, where is everyone? And is there a good vibe or a bad vibe? It's kind of like, what's going on? You know, where is everyone? And me and Tanya, before we moved here, we were part of a church that things weren't going very well, and it was discouraging. It was really discouraging, you know. And my heart kind of looking back, I couldn't really relate to it at the time, but my heart really breaks now for the pastor going through that situation. But just you and us being here is an encouragement to Russ. It's an encouragement to Ed, and it's an encouragement to each other. You know, coming to the life group is an encouragement to the life group teachers. And it's an encouragement to the people in the group. You know, I've had even kids in the youth group, you know, sometimes there's different things going on, and instead of 20 kids, you got like 8, and they're kind of like, where is everyone? And your presence is a way to encourage. But We do want more than just your presence. We need your gift that God has given you as a believer. And I'm going to quick run through a somewhat exhaustive New Testament list of gifts. And you may have one of these, you may have 10, but the Bible's clear. We all have a gift from the Holy Spirit. We all have that gift. And they are important, very important. And they're different gifts, and some are like person out front talking, and some is person behind the scenes. Nobody even knows what they're doing. So here's some of the gifts. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, various tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostles, teachers, helps, administrations, service, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, and evangelism. Those are the gifts that are listed in the New Testament that we are given. We all don't have all of those. For instance, giving. I can be kind of stingy with my money. I'm not going to lie. I wish I wasn't, but sometimes I don't have that, like, just throw it all away. But some of you have that where you see the need, you know of a financial need, and you automatically say, the Lord has blessed me, given me the means to meet that need, and I'm going to meet that need. So we see these different gifts. Some are designed for sharing the gospel, making new disciples, discipling and seeing growth. Some are for supporting and helping each other. But we're going to look in a moment what the purpose of these gifts are. Before we launch into that, I have a couple questions. These are supposed to be probing questions, so I'll give you about 5 seconds between questions to think. First question, why do I attend church? Why do I attend church? How does me being at church impact others? How does my life throughout the week impact the believers in the church? What gift or gifts has God given to me, and how am I using those? Is our church running at maximum capacity in loving God, loving one another, and living the mission? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to turn to a passage in our Bibles. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity just to look at some real important points. And Lord, thank you for this church. And this is an awesome, awesome, awesome church, Lord. This is a church that loves you and loves each other. And I am just privileged and humbled to even be able to be here and be around these people, Lord. And I mean that with all my heart. And I just pray that today, anyone in here who is listening, doesn't know you as their Savior, it'll be a day where they come to know you, come to trust in you, Lord. And I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would encourage those who are serving, who are being diligent, who maybe even feeling like they're worn a little thin, Lord. I pray that you would use this message to encourage them, to strengthen them, to know that more help is coming, Lord. And I pray for those who say, hey, you know, I think this is a good time for me to get more involved, Lord. I just pray that you, through the Holy Spirit, would guide them and help them to hear your voice through that, Lord. And we don't want anyone to feel pressured or guilty. We want them to serve out of love for you and love for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And then verse 7 through 11. That's the one thing the youth group has to work on. They're so used to Bible phones on tablets, or Bibles on tablets and phones. We're old-fashioned up there. we use like a Bible still. It takes like forever. Does it not, hon? And I have to repeat it like 50 times. So it's always an exercise in patience for myself. But remember back in the day they used to do sword drills? You know what sword drills are? I was always terrible at those, by the way. I don't think I ever won a sword drill. But maybe we should bring back sword drills. Or maybe that would just make it more painful and we just need to like get with the program. All right. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. And by the way, Peter's writing this to believers in a church. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So I want to jump in. The first thing I want to pull out of that passage that relates to us interacting together as a church is that idea where he says, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. As we are serving together, we are going to make mistakes. And we're going to mess up. And we're even going to actually not just like make, oh, I forgot to do this. We're going to actually sin at times. We're going to mistreat each other. We're going to say things that are unkind. We're going to have wrong motives. And Peter is saying, guess what? Love one another, and love needs to cover these sins. It means you don't talk about it to the other person. You don't complain about it to the other person. You don't get a negative or bitter view towards the person who has wronged you. You let love cover those sins. Let's keep moving. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards. It says, each one as you have received a special gift. So guess what? It's talking about that in the past tense. And that means we have all received a gift. And if you say, I don't have any idea what the Lord has gifted me with, I would study some of those passages in Romans, Corinthians, 1 Peter. He's going to talk about two types of gifts coming up. I would study some of those passages, and I would really pray and even seek some counsel about figuring out what the Lord has gifted you with. Because we have all received that gift, and in a second, he's going to tell us what that gift is for. He says right here, we are to use our gifts to employ it in serving one another. Our gifts are for serving the church, serving each other. And he says right here, as good stewards. So that means, where did that gift come from? Him. It was given. So by the way, we shouldn't brag. Nothing to be proud or arrogant about. All these gifts are given. And we are to steward those gifts. When you think of stewarding, is there a parable that comes to mind in Scripture? When you think of stewarding, anyone want to shout it out loud? Yeah, the parable of the talents. The master who gives these talents as he's going away to his servants to use and produce more wealth or fruit or whatever, and some of them do a great job with it, and some of them just kind of bury it. And the one that buries it gets severely rebuked. And I have an analogy here. It's like having, you know, having a talent from the Lord. We're not talking about talent, but a gift. It's kind of like having a really awesome boat, and you never take people out fishing or boating. You have this sweet boat, you never use it for others. Or it's like being an amazing surgeon, but you don't use your gift to perform surgery for those who need it. And your gift is from God, and He wants you to steward it and produce fruit by serving others. That is a challenge, a real stark challenge right there. If you're not currently serving others, it also, this is really, really, really important. In that passage, it says you need to do the serving with the strength which God supplies. Ministry and service can and will be tiring. No doubt, it will be tiring. But when you're doing it in your own strength, it's going to be frustrating and exhausting and probably futile. And I have done a good amount of ministry in the past in my own strength without even kind of realizing it. You know, I'm just buckling down and kind of getting through with this, you know, nose to the grindstone. You're not going to see the same amount of fruit produced because the Lord's not in it, and you are going to get frustrated. And that is a great challenge. We got to do it with the strength which God supplies. Well, why do we got to realize that God is the one giving us this strength? Because ultimately it says, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If we're doing it in our strength, God is not going to get the glory. God is not going to be glorified through our human efforts. He is glorified when we use what He has given us and the power to bring Him glory. Our gifting is from God, and the use of our gifts is to be in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that God is the one who gets the credit and the glory. Let's turn to one other passage quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a real famous passage, and we're not going to look into the whole, we're not going to break down the whole thing, just read a couple verses. He uses the analogy here of the body. We'll talk about that in a second, but it's going to talk about, give us a little snippet again about what are these gifts for. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, or 6 and 7, he says, there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So that gift of the Holy Spirit is for the common good, the benefit of us, the body. And in that context, he's talking about the body of Christ. Do our gifts benefit society? Yeah, it does. When you're sharing the gospel and bringing people into the fold, that benefits society. When members of the church are living for the Lord and kind of creating that salt and the light for society, that's a benefit. But the common good right here is for us, the body, because we need each other. God's gift is for the common good. Your gift is given to bless the other members of the body of Christ. And Paul uses that body analogy with different body parts and different roles, but we are all important. And he talks about the weaker parts being necessary, and the less honorable parts deserve the most honorable. And you know, I think about cleaning the toilets. Imagine if someone didn't clean the toilets for 6 months. That would be rough. That would be real bad. I mean, you walk into the bathrooms after like a youth night, and it hasn't been cleaned since then, and it already is pretty nasty. And that cleaning of the bathrooms, that serving, there's no glory in it. In fact, me and Tanya used to clean bathrooms at our church in Indianapolis. The only problem, we weren't serving. We were doing it to get paid because they couldn't find people that would volunteer to do it, so they had to pay people. And I was already busy as a teacher, and they had to kind of twist my arm and give us money to do it, and we did it. But here, we're looking for volunteers. But there's no glory in that when you're cleaning a bathroom. But those weaker parts, as it says, are necessary, and the less honorable parts deserve the most honor. The most honor. Let's jump on down to verse 25. So that there may be no division in the body. So he talks about every part being important. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same care for one another. And if one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If a part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it. And I think Crosspoint is amazing at that. When a brother or a sister is hurting, sick, in need, you know, I've seen it. I've seen it in Ed's heart. I've seen it in the people here. The love and the support that we provide, that you guys provide, is awesome. And it's the Holy Spirit. It really is. God leading in that. So what part of the body are you? What body part are you in the body of Christ at Crosspoint? Are you the armpit or something else? Just kidding. What gift has God given you to better complete that body, and are you using it? Are you using it? Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This is kind of our main text. Ephesians chapter 4. And this is going to be a little bit redundant, but most of us forget like what we heard like a month ago, and Ed was talking about some of that already, but we probably all forgot it, so let's be reminded. That's always a little, I don't know if discouraging is the right word, but I'll ask the youth group, I'll be like, what did we talk about last week? And they're like, and I look at Tanya, and she's like, scratching her head too. But then we get into it, and then the light bulbs start clicking. So we are in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 11. And again, this is going to be talking about our gifts and what their purpose is for. And this is an awesome passage. He's going to start by giving just a few of these gifts. Remember, I gave that big list. He's going to give a few of the gifts. And these are kind of more like leadership, teaching kind of gifts, the list right here is not exhaustive. Paul actually mentions many different gifts at different times in different books. But he says right here, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So he lists these different gifts, and he says their purpose. He calls someone like Ed and gives him gifts for the purpose of equipping. Equipping. So these gifts are given to the leaders and others who are teaching for the purpose of equipping us. Equipping us, preparing us, giving us the tools we need. You know, when you're a believer, you don't automatically, when you become a believer, you don't automatically know it all. You don't automatically understand it all. You are not automatically just like holy roller, sanctified, walking across water. And 30 years, 40 years, 50 years down the road, you still aren't there. And actually, in Ephesians, it talks about our flesh will actually get worse and worse. It'll wax worse. And so if we are not growing and walking in the Spirit and we revert to our flesh, we're actually going to be getting worse on our own. And so he gifts these particular gifts for equipping us, but equipping us to do what? Very simple, right here, the work of ministry. And I looked, I'm not a Greek scholar, and I'm not even close to a Greek scholar, but I looked up the word for ministry, and it's diakonios, and it's where we get, it's related to the word deacon, and it means the work of service. So the equipping is for service. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip us. Ed was given the gift that he has to equip us. And so why does Pastor Ed take time to repeat himself? You know, he kind of like runs down and reviews stuff. Ed's not just like, well, I just want to get through this content and just kind of move on. He really has a heart that people will pick up on what the Word of God is saying. He reviews it. He catches people up. He wants to clue everyone in because he truly wants us to come away with a greater understanding of the passage so we are better equipped. And that's why he does the expository preaching. Do you know what I mean? You know, some of you may come from a different type of church, and they might have a different style of preaching. I think the expository preaching is the best because it's not someone coming up giving a feel-good message and a bunch of like relatable stories and analogies. It is God's specific word. And someone just telling stories might be entertaining, it might be fun. You might walk away and be like, man, that person can preach. That was entertaining. And by the way, I've walked away from services in the past when I was younger, when I didn't know the difference between expository preaching and just telling stories that relate to like a Bible verse. There's a difference. And Ed has a heart where he's not up here to be an entertainer and fill the seats. He wants to teach the word to equip us. And he, I believe, was given that gift to equip us. And Ed has a heart for leadership and equipping the men in this church. And he has done that leadership training, and many of you have participated in that. And he meets Wednesday mornings, Tuesday night, Friday night, studying scripture. He is trying to make disciples out of the church and equip us. He knows the time is short and he has a job to do. And Ed has said he would meet with anyone at any time and do as many meetings as he had to meet everyone's needs. And Ed means that. Ed actually means that. If you said, I can only meet at 2 in the morning, he would do it. I guarantee it. And so let's keep moving on. He talks about this gift to equip us, and it's equipping us for service. And then it's going to tell us, well, what is this service for? So if these gifts are to, gifts for some of the leaders are to equip us to then do service, what is the purpose of the service? What is the purpose of the service? Well, it's going to tell us right here. The purpose of the service is for the building up of the body of Christ. Huh? Where am I? I'm in, Tanya keeps me in line. She does that on Wednesday nights with the youth group all the time. Where are you? We are in verse 12, sorry. So, for the building up of the body of Christ. So, I want to sum it up. And this is kind of like the Steve version if I were to sum up those passages. The Bible is saying God has gifted certain people to be our leaders and teachers to equip us so we could serve each other so that we as the body of Christ would grow. Building up. It uses that term, building up. And some of you are construction workers in here. And you know there's good building and there's bad building. When we were working on the adventure playground, you know, when it was me and Ed and Wayne out there working, there was some shoddy building work going on, I'm not going to lie. There was sometimes something would be done and we'd look at it and we'd be like, are they going to see that? Is it safe? Yes, it's safe, but are people going to look at that? Is that going to, they probably won't see it. We would say, you can't see it from Wayne's office. That was the joke. Because that's what construction workers say. You can't see it from my house. We'd say, you can't see it from Wayne's office. But then when the solid rock guys were out there, man, it was plumb and square to the best of what we were dealing with, which was some crazy stuff. But there's good buildings and there's that building up. And we want our church, this idea of building up, to be a church that is in shape. Not a flabby church, not a church that's out of shape. You know, if we grow by 100 people in the next year, or 10, it's not about the numbers. You can have a church with 50 people, and serving and growing and discipling is going on by the majority. You can have a church with 1,000 people, and it's a small majority that is taking place. So we don't want to be a flabby church like that. We want all the individual members becoming more like Jesus and how they love God and how they love one another and how they make disciples. And also, this is really important. You know, the church, you guys are awesome at love and community. And you see it like on a Wednesday night, there's families, there's kids, there's people running around, there's people coming in. That's going to attract people. That's going to attract lost people. And we never, ever, ever want to assume that someone who is attending and has been attending has a relationship with Christ. You know what I mean? And it could be someone coming from a church background. Maybe they say, well, I got baptized when I was 6 or 2 or 1 or 6 months old. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Or maybe it's someone who doesn't really have a church background, but they just like that community aspect. We just don't want to assume that everyone is a believer. And therefore, we even in the church, you know, we always need to be thinking about that, our testimony with each other and with visitors. That is huge. And also, you know, like on like a Wednesday night or a Sunday, like the meal time, or even on Sunday mornings, you know, we always want to be looking for people who are visitors or who are new or who really need to hear the gospel and have someone pull them in and connect with them. You know, I remember going to, I might have shared this story before with the youth group, but me and a friend, we were on a fishing trip in Wisconsin. Actually, we had left college. We took a day off from college, and we went fishing. But I went to a pretty strict college, and you were supposed to go to church. You didn't miss a Sunday service. You didn't miss a Wednesday night service. And it was, and you actually had to fill out a form that said, like, the ministries you had been involved in that week and where you went to church. I don't think they do that anymore. It was called a Christian service report. And if you didn't turn it in, you got 15 demerits. I know. It was due by every Wednesday. It was rough. That was where most of my demerits came from, was late Christian service reports. But we were out fishing, and we're catching walleye. We're on the Fox River up in Wisconsin, and that's the river that flows into Green Bay. And we had talked about, you know, it was on a Wednesday. We talked about going to church that night, and it was like 4 o'clock. And we're anchored in the spot, and we're catching walleye. And it's like, it's getting to time where, like, are we going to, like, lie on our Christian service reports and say we went to some church? And we pulled the anchor, and we left. And we're driving around this town, and if you know much about Wisconsin, certain parts of Wisconsin, they have a lot of Lutheran churches. And there are Lutheran churches that I believe that preach the gospel, and there are some Lutheran churches that sadly don't preach the gospel anymore. Kind of depends on the synod or whatever the group that they're in. But I remember walking into this church, and we smelled like fish, and we were wearing our fishing clothes, and not one person came up and talked to us. We looked like visitors. We looked like we weren't there. They could tell we weren't from there. No one came up to us. The only time they came up to us was there was like this. I wasn't used to this because I'm not, you know, it's kind of more of a liturgical kind of church and you do certain things. And there was this time where everyone went around and shook hands and said, "Peace be with you." That was the only time that we had any interaction. And if they would have known that we were shaking with fish hands, they probably wouldn't have wanted to shake our hands. But I just always looked back at that, and I was like, man, I never want to have that happen in any church I'm a member of. And I don't believe that happens here, but we always want to be looking out for visitors and others. Is it 10 after? All right, I got a motor. We always want to be looking out for those who need the church to welcome them in. So we are, where'd I leave off? All right, yes, right here. So, and then he also says, so it's this building up in verse 13, until we all attain the unity of the faith. And really, we're all going to attain the unity of faith ultimately is when Christ returns and the whole church ultimately is unified. Right now, we have a universal church. There are believers, we're all part of this universal church. But so many of these letters and messages are written to specific groups of people in different areas because that's how we interact and that's how we serve together. And ultimately, we will all be united in heaven together in that unity. We attaining to this unity and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's the ultimate, like, end game. Us becoming like Jesus. Growing, being equipped, serving, being built up so we will be like Christ. So we will serve each other. So we will love each other. Love in our communities and have a heart for the lost like Christ has a heart for the lost. That is what our goal, our personal goal and our collective goal should be. And it says right here, we get a further description. It says in verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You know, there are a lot of false teachings out there. A lot of them. And there were a ton of false teachings rising up at this time. That's why if you look like all the writings, you know, whether it's Jude or Peter or Paul, so many of the New Testament writers warn about false teaching. And there are so many attractive false teachings that are creeping into evangelical churches and people don't even realize what they've picked up on is bogus. And I wanted to mention a couple. I was kind of like weighing it out. I don't want to offend anyone, but I also, sometimes you just got to speak the truth. And, you know, one of the false teachings that I kind of hear or catch wind is this law of attraction. Have you heard that stuff? Law of attraction. It's the idea that, like, our thoughts and what we speak, we can, like, manifest good things into the universe by what we say. And there's like this law of attraction that's totally separate from the gospel. But I was actually, the gospel in the Bible, and it doesn't claim to be associated, but I was actually doing some research, and there are Christians and Christian teachers that will actually combine those two things. And it's the idea that literally you control your destiny. If bad stuff is happening to you, you know, you are not speaking, thinking positive thoughts. Well, guess what? You look in the New Testament, and it says bad stuff is going to happen. Trials are going to happen. You are going to be persecuted. Paul had these sicknesses, and Paul said, God, take this away. And God said, my grace is sufficient. He didn't say, you need to be positive. You need to harness the energy of the universe. So we need to be careful. And if you hear and see stuff like that popping up or people talking in that way, try to probe a little bit deeper and see where they're coming from. Because we don't know. All of us have different backgrounds. And some of us, it can just be, hey, I'm still coming out of that. I need to learn more. Some of us, it might be, they're believers, and a neighbor came along and said, hey, I got this awesome book. You should check this out. And so we have to be careful, because that is not, if you look at what Scripture teaches, that is not what Scripture teaches. And even just that idea, like, you know, that popular, Joel Osteen is not as popular as he once was, but that whole your best life now mindset is contrary to Scripture. And you know, I've heard Joel Osteen, he was on a talk show once, and he had the opportunity to really give the gospel, and he couldn't even articulate a biblical gospel of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and trusting Christ as the only way to heaven. So that just, we got to be careful about that kind of stuff, that idea of manifesting and the law of attraction. And people will take some truths and they'll twist it out of context. They'll say, well, you know, there's this passage about Jesus, and he couldn't do miracles in this area because the people didn't have faith. They'll take these passages, and they'll try to create a whole different doctrine, and they don't even know some of the roots of those teachings and how far from Scripture they actually are. That's why it's so important to be in a Bible study that is studying the Word, in a life group that is studying the Word, because we don't just automatically pick up on this stuff. We don't. We need to challenge each other. And I know some of like the Wednesday morning stuff I've been in with the guys, there's challenging questions and stuff like that, and I have learned stuff, and I've had misconceptions corrected that a year ago I was pretty certain I had this down. And we can all grow in those areas. So we got to be careful, because he's saying right here, guess what? We don't want to be tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But we need to be speaking the truth in love, and we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head. That is Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint, we are all joints, and we all supply something, according to the proper working of every individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So ultimately, we are to be growing up together as the body of Christ in love. And so that's my final challenge. What are you doing to serve? What is your gift? How are you basically pouring out your life in the church to grow each other, to grow the body of Christ? And there, you know, a final little thought. Of course, there's balance. We have families. And family, your family is your first ministry in raising your kids. That is a super, super important command to teach your kids to love the Lord. But your kids will also learn about serving in the church from you, from us. Your kids will learn about your attitudes towards the church and towards us. Basically, it will be caught. It probably won't be taught. And so what are we doing to love on each other, to grow each other? But I close with a really important point to make, and that is the gospel. And I have some bad news. You are not a part of the body of Christ if your sin has not been taken care of. That's bad news. We are all sinners. We are all guilty. And the wages of our sin, what we deserve, is death in hell. And we are separated from God because of that. And that's bad news. But the good news is God has given us a gift, and that is Jesus bore our sins on his body on the cross, took our punishment, took our wages, died for us, and then beat death and sin by rising again. And that's the good news. We have to trust in that, accept that free gift, and ultimately we have that choice. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Turn from your sins, repent, and trust in Christ. And guess what? You are, boom, automatically in the body of Christ, that universal body, and then go out and find a local body and start serving. Don't try to be like Rambo. Join in, join the team, join the unit, and find where you need to serve. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all that you have done in my life and my family's life through this church already, Lord, in just a year. So blessed and so privileged, Lord, and so humbled. Thank you for them, Lord. And I pray right now for anyone who's on the fence about serving, that you would not make it a matter of guilt or feeling bad, but a matter of prayer in their hearts, and the Holy Spirit will really lead them, and that they will take it, the initiative there and find someone and say, hey, I don't even know what I'm meant to do, but I want to do something. And I pray that we will continue to grow, Lord, and more people can jump in and encourage those who have started ministries and are doing new stuff and are doing old stuff and have been plotting for years and years and years. Give them special strength, Lord, and a blessing, and give them encouragement, Lord, and help us who are newer to serving be there to encourage them, Lord. And we pray that none of the ministries that we do will be a waste of time, will be just killing time, but they'll all ultimately lead to us loving you more and loving each other. And ultimately, we want to see all the nations discipled, Lord, the Great Commission. That's the your heart right there, Lord. And we pray that you would lead us in that direction. Again, thank you for everyone right now. And I pray for some of those people who can't be here right now, who are sick, who are hurting, Lord. And I pray that you would give them special comfort and special peace. And we pray for miraculous healing in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I think you're dismissed. Oh, there's life groups. Wayne has a life group up there. Stoney leads a life group in here. Then there's a youth group, life group, happening in the youth room. And surf camp is not happening. If you didn't hear that, surf camp's not happening today. But next week. Oh, yeah. One more area for service. If you know how to, like, shove a kid, like, on a surfboard, like, down a wave, we could use you next week. Me and Tanya are going to be gone. Wayne is going to be gone. So we're going to need more surf camp helpers. There were, like, I don't know, 100 kids out there, and we had just enough helpers last time. If you don't know how to, like, shove a kid on a surfboard, it's actually quite easy. See Ed, and he can teach you. So thank you.